Hi, ladies, and welcome to the Story Night podcast. I'm Jessica Campbell, and stories are my passion. It's my honor to host this podcast where real women share real stories of real hope. Each episode features one woman sharing her personal story with you. Too often, we fall into the traps of comparison and judgment, but what if we took the time to hear each other's real stories? Let's remember that we all have a story, and our stories matter. We're so glad you've joined us on this podcast journey. May you find hope and encouragement in this episode's story. Hi, ladies, and welcome to this episode of the Story Night podcast. We're so glad you're here. If this is your first time finding us, welcome. We recommend starting with episode one so you can just learn a little bit about Story Night and what we are, what we do, the history, the vision, the purpose. And for those of you who have been listening a long time, you know already that this is just a place where women get to be real, authentic, share their stories. And our stories really vary. They can be really fun and upbeat. They can be really heartbreaking, but they all come with encouragement and they all come with hope. And that's why we share them. So without further ado, I want to introduce you to my guest for this episode, my sweet neighbor and friend, Lauren. Thank you so much for being willing to do this.
No, thank you for having me.
So before we start with your story, would you please introduce yourself to the listeners?
My name is Lauren. I am 42 years old. I am a nurse and a mom to one seven-year-old son, a wife, and I'm new to McMinnville. We just moved, I think like this week is the 1 year anniversary of us moving into our house. I work at a hospital in town and just really enjoying getting our life started here.
Right. And this is going to be a theme that comes out so much in your story, that idea of finding home, lots of moving, looking for community, and especially even just within women, a group of women and girlfriends. And what does that look like? And how do you find that when you move around so much? So all of these things are going to connect with the purpose of Story Night, but we want to start at the beginning and find out how you ended up in McMinnville. But let's start with where you were born and a little bit about your childhood.
Okay. So I was born in Chicago, but my mom and I moved to Portland, Oregon when I was five. My parents had separated and my dad stayed back in Chicago. And so when they ultimately divorced, I would travel back and forth from Portland to Chicago to visit him. So I was flying on planes even by myself, like before I was 10, wow, going back and forth to see him over spring breaks and summer breaks. And then his family also lived in North Carolina. So we would go every year together to visit them. My mom's side of the family, we have also in New Jersey that we would visit a lot. So
they're all over the country.
Yes.
Those are four very different places.
They are. Yeah.
Did you find that of those four places, there was one that felt, I don't know, like fit you the best? Or were you pretty adaptable?
I was adaptable. And that definitely helped me later on in life with all the moving around. But there, I could always find something about all those places that I loved so much. I have really like visceral memories of how like hot and humid North Carolina was, but how like red the earth was.
The soil.
Yes, the soil is super red there. And we would be in we would visit a beach town in New Jersey. So I just remember how oddly warm the ocean was on that side of the country versus the Pacific here. And I just loved like the big city of Chicago.
You like got quite the sampler different platter of the United States of America.
Yeah. So I stopped going back to Chicago to visit when my father committed suicide when I was 14. I didn't know that he had mental health and alcoholism that he struggled with for most of his life. So it was a huge shock to me and to our family, of course.
That's a life-changing tragedy.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So my mom, I think, to help me feel like I had something to do during my breaks during school, like spring break and summer breaks, or the time that I'd be visiting him, we would go other places instead. Like she took me to San Francisco. She took me to New York City. We went to Boston. We became kind of like urban tourists. She's really into food and the arts. So we went to lots of great restaurants, and I saw Phantom of the Opera for the first time in San Francisco. And it's a really vivid memory. So
before we go to the next couple chapters of your life, I'm just, you know, thinking of what a deep grief that is, along with the shock at such a vulnerable age, really. You know, maybe a parent is listening and their child's going through a grief or they are or something. Did you end up doing some counseling? Was there anything that like really kind of helped you process and heal?
Yes, I did counseling for about a year with a great social worker in Portland. My mom did some counseling of her own as well. My stepfather was in the picture at this point. He'd been around for 5, 6 years, and I asked him to come to the funeral with us. He asked me if I would like him to go, and I said yes. So he came with us across the country to the South, and I'm sure he felt all feelings being there. You know who he was, but it was significant that he was there to support me. So he was a big force in my life. That was a great like father figure after my father passed.
Oh my gosh. The step-parent relationship can be so complicated, and it sounds like that was positive, and I'm so glad that that
Very.
was
And
wonderful.
I don't hear a lot of positive stepfather or step parent stories, so I feel super lucky
Yeah.
that we have such a great relationship.
That's amazing. So then at this point now, like in your teen years, your mom's remarried. You have a solid relationship with your mom and stepdad, gone through some healing, gone through some counseling, and then getting to, you know, try and fill, not fill the gaps, not replace the visits with your dad, but get to go do some other things. So you really are traveling all over and getting this huge view of just the world, and it sounds like culture and food and all the things.
The one thing that's constant, though, is how much I loved home. Anytime I would come back, especially later on, once we get into the college years, I would always come home because I went to college out of state. I would always come home during the breaks, and the house that we lived in was really bright. It's another thing that was great about my parents and my stepfather. They loved living in a house that was really colorful. The house was like bright blue with a teal roof. We had like circus panels, like circus wagon panels on the walls, and a giant, like a 3D art piece of Greta Garbo that had Christmas lights on it, like all year round. And carpets were green, and I got to pick the colors of my like my spaces. So I had like purple walls and a yellow door, and all the art that I made at school would go up on the walls and stuff. So it was just a wonderful setting and place, and I always felt happy coming back from wherever I
Well, and
was
it sounds very
going.
personalized too. Like this was very much like you and your family, which makes it special.
It was very special. So I hadn't traveled internationally up until this point. So once I graduated from high school, family that was from New Jersey also owned a restaurant over there, an Italian restaurant. It's half of my family history is from Italy. So every year they go back to Italy to talk with winemakers. So they were like, hey, our cousin's turning 50, you're graduating from high school, let's all go to Italy together over the summer. So that's what we did for a couple of weeks, and it was magical, and
Yes, it sounds like a movie.
I felt like it.
Incredible. And so now, so now your international travel is kicking off, and we're going to do more of that as part of your story. What a fun experience. And then you mentioned college. So after Italy, then did you go straight into college?
I did. So a couple months later, we packed me up and we went to Mills College in Oakland, California. And I did 4 years there and I got an English degree. And then during my time in college, I went abroad for a semester. And a lot of like studying literature, of course, the first thing you think of, and especially I loved British literature. You'd think England would be the first place that I'd want to pick, but I have this weird thing where I always want to do something that nobody else is doing or just do the opposite of what everybody else is doing. So I thought, well, the Pacific is an interesting place and they have great literature and poetry. And it was the time when Lord of the Rings had all come out. So everyone like was learning about New Zealand and how beautiful it is. And the movie Whale Rider had come out that was up for an Oscar, and like 2004, I think it was. So I was like, let's go there and study Pacific literature. So I did that for a semester.
In New Zealand. Oh, I love that. Well, that'll be a separate conversation because we've
Okay.
been to New Zealand. Dane has family
Oh,
there.
really?
Yeah.
Awesome. Yeah.
Things you find
Great.
out when you sit down and actually take time to talk through all the details of somebody's story.
Yeah.
Oh, and then things are going to get even more interesting after graduation.
Yeah. So I had started out as a dance major, but I was learning that all of my older colleagues who had graduated weren't getting jobs. You just, life as like a post-grad dancer, you're just always going to auditions, but not always employed. So they were working in retail or working like as servers. And I wasn't sure if that was what I wanted to do. So halfway through, I switched my major to English. It seemed like kind of the safe bet. So when I was done with school, I wasn't really sure what I wanted to do next. Some of the logical things to do is either teach or go to law school. And neither of those things seemed, I wasn't sure I was ready for grad school yet. So the last day I was on campus, I was sitting around with some people that after our ceremony, we were all talking about what we were doing. And one of my colleagues said that she had applied for the Peace Corps and she was going to be leaving for South America. So I thought, okay, well, that sounds cool. So I went home and I did a little research on that and I applied and was accepted and I left a year later.
Now, I think most listeners know of the Peace Corps, right? But for anybody who, maybe never really looked into it or researched it, if we could take, I don't know, a minute or two to just
Yeah.
describe it and what does that actually mean when
Well,
you
yeah.
join it? Like, what does that look like?
Yeah. So the United States Peace Corps is a volunteer organization that sends Americans overseas to different countries that they have partnerships with to immerse themselves in the community in different roles. I'm working for NGOs, working as English teachers. There's a kind of a variety of different things you can do. Because of my background, I was an English teacher.
And the goal,
Here.
I mean, the title is peace, right? The
Yeah.
goal is to, be helpful and serve and bring peace and.
Yes. You end up figuring out some kind of project that you want to do. You spend the first year kind of figuring out what your community needs and how you can provide something for them that would be sustainable after you leave. And then the second year, you work on that project while you're doing your primary job. So
Fascinating. So you
it's.
applied, you got in, and where did you go?
I went to Romania. Yeah. I went to Romania. Romania is like the same size as Oregon and it has kind of the same topography. So, and I was sent to the northwest of Romania. So it looks just like it does here in the Pacific Northwest. So absolutely gorgeous. They make wine there and I felt right at home.
Oh,
So,
was there
yeah.
a big culture shock?
Yeah, I would say there's a culture shock, but I don't know. I was welcomed so like fiercely, kind of like a dramatic word, but honestly, like I jumped right in and everyone just caught me and it was like off to the races for 2 years and it was great.
That's amazing.
So yeah.
How long were you there?
So to the service is 27 months.
Okay.
Yeah, so you spend the first 3 months learning the culture and the language, and then the actual 2 years is where you're at your site.
What a fun like start though. I mean, just all the different places you visited, all the different people you probably met and different cultures. Even just thinking about this, and we'll probably circle back to this as you land in McMinnville, but thinking of the topic really of story night of women building relationships and
Yes.
those deep friendships and being real with each other and doing life together
Yes.
and all of that with all the moving. Was that a challenge? Like, did you end up with a best friend every place you went or a group?
I did when the college that I went to was an all-women's college. So it was wonderful. I felt very much at home there because really growing up, I grew up with mostly women. Like my stepfather was the only male after my father passed away, like the only like male who was there around. Like it was my mom, her sister, and my grandmother until she passed later on. But my grandmother and my aunt lived together, and they always had their group of girlfriends at the house that we would all be hanging out with all the time. When my mom and I first moved here, we moved into a duplex in Lake Oswego. So there's our house and the adjoining duplex, and then across a little pathway was another duplex. And all the parents were lesbians with kids. So my mom jokes that we were raised by lesbians.
Clearly, yes, women, lots of women in
Lots
your
of
life.
women.
So many, and one women's college, and
I went to an all-women's college, and later on when I went to New Zealand, I lived in an apartment with three other women. So they were like my core group. And then when I went to the Peace Corps and I got to my site, it was kind of an unconventional thing that I had to actually run by the Peace Corps that it was okay. There was another teacher, a woman who was from a nearby village, but she always stayed in an apartment in town during the school year because she was a teacher at the same school. And they asked me if I would be comfortable having her as my roommate while I was there. And I thought, that's great, because she was actually the girlfriend of one of my host brothers. So I had already met her from day one and felt comfortable, and we were about the same age. So she and I just became roommates and best friends the whole time.
really funny that in all the years that you spent with women that you ended up as a boy mom.
Yes.
We'll get to
Yes.
that though.
Oh, it's a separate adventure for sure.
Well, first let's meet your husband because he comes into the picture after you come back from the Peace Corps, right?
Yes, he does. Yeah, a few years later, I met him and we got together on my 30th birthday. We moved in pretty quickly together and we just kind of bounced around. We didn't live in one place for very long. We lived in an apartment, and then almost a year later, we bought our first house. And then with that house, we decided it wasn't like what we wanted. So we sold and bought another house that was completely different. And it's like Goldilocks, really, like with where we live. We've bounced around so much.
Trying to
So,
find the one that's just right.
yes, exactly. Yeah. And I think what was in my mind was that I wanted exactly what I had grown up in. Kind of quirky house that was up in the forest that had lots of art and life and color. And so eventually, after my son was born, he was quite young still. This was in 2020 when the pandemic was getting started. There was a house for sale in my parents' neighborhood and it was very similar. And I was like, can we have this house? And Louis said, okay, let's buy this house. So we moved ourselves, our son, our six chickens into this house that actually he tore the kitchen out first before we moved in. But it just was not, it was a cool house, but it wasn't super practical. Like it was kind of old and not well insulated. So it was quite cold on a north facing hill surrounded by lots of trees. So it was very cold and dark a lot. Someone in the neighborhood had had a tree fall on their house. So anytime it was super windy or icy, we'd be so nervous. Like a big branch fell on one of our cars and totaled it. So I think my husband like really wanted me to have this house, and we tried really hard to make it fit into what I was hoping it could be. But eventually, 2 years later, we decided this is not the place.
Well, and I think you have a phrase that you used, like shoving a square peg in a round hole,
Yes.
like trying so hard to make this. And gosh, I think so many listeners have experienced that, whether it's related to a house or not, where there's something you want so badly and you're trying to make. Trying to make it work, whether it's a relationship or a job or a home or even a friendship or whatever, you're like, but it isn't fitting.
That's right. So at that point, I felt like it was time to like really make a big change. It was the pandemic, and I'd been working in a big hospital, and my mental health was suffering. And I think my husband was stressed out all the time because of the house, and his job was stressful. So in early 2022, I found the opportunity to take a travel nursing job that would take us to St. Louis. So I told my husband, should I apply? And he said yes. And then they gave me an offer the same day. And they said, if you want this offer and you say yes, you need to leave in 3 weeks.
Oh my gosh.
Yeah.
Well, let me put a pin in that real quick, because at some point you went from college and English and dance to being a nurse.
Yes, that's right.
I feel
Yeah,
like
I
we missed a
totally missed that
chapter.
part.
When did you go back to nursing school or
I
something like
did go back
that?
to nursing school after I came back from the Peace Corps. I kind of went back to an old job that I had had through college, and I wasn't super happy with it. And I felt like I needed to do something that I, A, really loved, that made good money, and that made a difference in life.
So that's how the nursing all began,
Yes, it
right?
is.
And then, so now back to where we left off. You get this opportunity as a traveling nurse, but it's
Yes.
quick.
Yes, it
Quick
is.
decision.
Yeah, so we quit our jobs and we found a house sitter and we brought our dog. Not
Not the chickens.
the chickens. We gave the chickens to our sweet neighbor that had like 50
Of
chickens.
course.
So they fit right in. And we bought this van and we packed up a few bins of our things with our son and our dog and we drove across the country. And we stayed there for 3 months. And then when we were driving back, we decided to go kind of a long route to go down through the Southwest, through New Mexico and Albuquerque, because that's where my sister-in-law lives. We had been there several times to visit, and I loved the Southwest. So I thought, why don't we maybe try living here? We had discussed it kind of in passing, even before going to St. Louis, but when we went through there, it was springtime and the kids were getting out of school, and it was just so sunny and warm and lovely. And it was still, dreary and cold and rainy here because it's springtime. And so we thought, okay, let's do that because we've had enough of this house. We really love the travel. So we went home, we packed up the house, put it on the market, and then we moved. We put everything back in more cars and more trucks and drove back to New Mexico like 3 months later.
Wow. So much change in a short period of time.
Very short.
Yeah, and you were there for a little while.
Yeah, so we were there for 2 years. The high desert is a very beautiful and special place, but it just didn't like fit us completely. That's kind of a longer story.
All going back to this Goldilocks, like, where is my just right home, just right community?
And a thought that came into my mind thinking about telling this story is that a lot of these things that I've done and we've done over the years, we take these huge jumps and huge risks, and they just keep getting like bigger and bigger. I think if there's anyone out there that has this goal or this risk that they might take to kind of change, that they think will change their lives for the better, it seems really hard and scary. But once you do it, it makes it easier to do it again, so that like no goal or dream is like too big.
Right.
So I hope that helps. I guess
Yeah,
one.
absolutely. And I do want to kind of circle back to that point, but first let's get you to McMinnville because we didn't leave you in Albuquerque. You were there for 2 years, and again, it still wasn't quite the right
It wasn't
fit.
quite the right fit. So we decided to come back to Oregon. I grew up in Portland. My husband grew up in Salem, but he grew up partying in Portland. And it just wasn't the same city that we knew and loved growing up
Yeah, it's changed a lot.
very much. And we have our son now. So we thought, why don't we move to some place that's a little smaller, a little quieter, but still feels like home? Like we can still live in a great neighborhood and send him to a great school and have great jobs. But also, we like to get out and do things. Translation, my husband is very outdoorsy and he likes to get out and do things. He's very good at pulling me out of my homebody tendencies. So it's an hour from the beach and a couple of hours away from a great mountain to go play on. And as you know, so the beautiful scenery, or you can ride your bike and run outside and
Yeah.
great food and great wine.
All the pieces. Had you ever been in McMinnville before? I mean, growing
I
up in
had been
Oregon?
through it, but never actually visited.
Yeah.
So I think what solidified McMinnville was the hospital, because the hospital had a day shift position available in an ICU, which was always the goal from the beginning of nursing school to become an ICU nurse. It was a day shift position, and they were offering a very generous sign-on bonus. So my husband said, "Well, you have to take that."
Well, we're glad you did because you ended up, a few doors down from
That's
us.
right.
We're walking our dog one day, and out comes you're just the friendliest little social bug. And to come out and meet my two boys, and it was like instant friendship. Very, very sweet. So that's amazing. On the topic of just being an ICU nurse, I mean, talk about making a difference. But to come home, I mean, I know you've got to deal with some extremely hard and stressful things, but also maybe seeing amazing things or, miraculous healings or just anything that brings that joy and purpose to you. Is there anything that, I don't know, anything that people who have never been in the nursing world just don't know about what it would be like? to be an ICU nurse, or like the greatest challenge or the greatest joy?
I joke around with my coworkers that the job has given me OCD because you have to be extremely detail oriented. You can't miss anything. I've only been into it for 1 year, so I still have a ton to learn. But the attention to detail and having just the one or two patients to focus on, like, really, it fits me well. I like the flow. Because really, like, nurses in any field, they make a huge, huge difference. And a lot of the times ICU, your ICU patients don't always remember you because they're not with it a lot. So you have your patient in the bed, but also the family ends up being your patient too, which I love that part of nursing also. And they sit around and they tell stories about their loved one, and I get to be a part of that.
That's huge.
It's
You're
special.
intersecting so many stories
Yes.
with your story, which is beautiful. And I'm sure anyone listening by this point would be like, gosh, if I end up in the ICU, I want Lauren as my nurse.
Thanks.
So one of the conversations we had when we very, very first met, just kind of taking your whole story in kind of for a landing here, was that idea of finding community
Yes.
and those female friendships, right?
Yes.
And that's when I started telling, like, well, there's this thing called Story Night. You should come.
Yeah.
I'm so glad you got to come to our last live event. And
Yeah, that was
ladies, I'll talk about
great.
our upcoming one here in just a moment. But being new to kind of a small town, I mean, McMinnville's 34, 35-ish, whatever, 1,000. So it's not, I mean, it's not teeny, teeny, teeny tiny, but it's certainly not a big city either. Has it been hard to find that community, or what, I don't know, what even maybe encouragement that you would have for people who are maybe moving to a new place, or they just haven't found their tribe yet, those female buddies to do life with?
I think having a very social child has really helped put me in front of lots of different women in the community. I think, though, I had found some really, like, lifelong friends in Albuquerque. So I was, like, holding on to them pretty hard. So once we first moved here, which I told you about, I wasn't, like, in the headspace or heart space maybe to make such great connections yet, and kind of kept to myself. But I'm finding it easier now too, and really wanting those close female friends because it's been what I grew up on and what I feel comfortable with, and that there's nothing like
You really don't.
it.
And I mean, sadly, women can be horrible to each other, but they can also be your lifeblood. I mean, they can just be your sisters, and the possibility of those deep relationships is so amazing and so worth the risk,
Oh,
I guess,
yes.
if we can put it that way, like, or worth the risk of putting yourself out there and building that community. And so with that, one of the things for anybody who's new to Story Night, in addition to this podcast, we do four live events a year. And at those events, we want to provide time for women to just mingle and get to know each other and maybe make new friends and just spend time together and have some food or some drinks, go get some prizes, just fun. And then there'll be one woman who shares her life story at these live events. It's just a community building outreach, and it's beautiful. We want to bring encouragement and hope and help women connect and create those bonds. So our next event is coming up on Thursday, July 31st, and this one will be a little different than all of the ones we've done in the past. This one's going to be outside, and it's going to be at a gorgeous winery called Domaine Willamette. We're going to open the doors at 6 o'clock so that you have a full hour to just enjoy the beauty, visit, talk, mingle, take pictures, enjoy some food and drinks. And then at 7 o'clock, we'll gather under the pavilion to hear Caitlin Sticca share her story. Caitlin was pregnant when she found out she had breast cancer. She is now a two-time breast cancer survivor. She is a mentor to so many in the community, and she is the founder of a nonprofit called With Courage. So much more to her story, and we would love to have you join us there, ladies. This is a free event. However, you do need to get a ticket, and you need to get it fairly quickly because already over 100 women have signed up, and we are going to run out of tickets much sooner than I think we anticipated. So jump on to storynighthope.com to get your free ticket. Invite your girlfriends to come. And also teenagers are welcome to come. It is at a winery, but they'll be, checking IDs for those who do decide they want to drink a glass of wine while they're there. and we would just love to have you there. If you are listening to this podcast and July 31st, 2025 is in the past, then you can still go onto our website to find out whatever the next event that's coming up and sign up for that one. But if you're listening to this episode shortly after we publish it, then I hope you are signing up and joining us on July 31st. And maybe you'll get to meet Lauren there and so many of our other ladies who have been on this podcast and women who are part of the Story Night team. We would really love to see you there and do anything we can to help you build community and find new friends and just enjoy a girls' night. Lauren, I want to thank you so much for taking time to do this.
Thank
I
you.
Appreciate you saying yes.
Yes, this was so fun.
We also want to thank Representative Lucetta Elmer for providing the platform for us to do Story Nights so we can keep bringing you stories of hope and encouragement and getting to provide also these live events as well. Thank you, ladies, so much for tuning in to this episode. We hope you were encouraged. We hope you were blessed and found some hope and that you come back next time for our next story. Until then, remember, you have a story and your story matters and you are not alone.